Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, Mike, we are back. Vikings 2.5-point underdog today. That feels about right.
Yeah, given the quarterback status is what that obviously is all about. But Tampa's got Winston, and they've got a defense that'll put pressure on and do some things. They were the subject of Hard Knocks this year on HBO, where they go behind the scenes. And it was interesting to watch that Jameis Winston because they made him the focal point and the hero. And no question, he's got some leadership skills and some ability. He also had the ability to play for the camera. You could see that some of this stuff, he was well aware. When the microphone was on, I'm going to build my brand.
There's a little Hollywood there.
Yeah, and I couldn't quite tell how much is real, but he's a player. He's a competitor. They picked up DeSean Jackson, and that's to be his, you know, the missing piece of the offense. They've got two or three with Evans and him. They've got two or three good receivers there. So they're pretty formidable, and their coach was pretty impressive, at least watching that documentary.
You know, Vikings made a pickup in the offseason that I was fairly excited about at the time. Well, in training camp and the preseason, it really didn't amount to anything. Latavius Murray barely got in. You had a chance to talk to him before we listened to that. What kind of a guy is he? Because I don't know.
As you get to know him, this is the case with a lot of players, as you get past the part where all you're asking him about is his injury, yeah, which was the first 6 months of his career here at the Minnesota Vikings, you realize he's a big photographer. He's got a couple layers deep, meaning that he can talk about not just his game, but the game, the NFL, and what he did at Oakland. At Oakland, his offensive coordinator was Todd Downing. Todd Downing was a backup quarterback at Eden Prairie High School.
Now
he's making the big bucks out there, so I've talked to him about that several times. But I get the sense that he's a pretty interesting, well-thought guy in terms of not just seeing the what's immediately in front of him as it pertains to football.
You caught up with him this week. Let's listen in.
He's getting a little bit of rhythm, got some carries the other day. How did that feel, and how does it feel as you evolve and develop here?
It felt really good. You know, anytime I guess I'm able to be on the field, that's exactly where I want to be. And so it just feels good to kind of, I guess, slowly get more involved. Again, I just need to continue to improve and make the most of the reps that I'm out there in.
Tell me about the Tampa defense when you look at it.
Tough defense. They fly around, that's for sure. And so got a good front four. And so, we'll have our work cut out just, I think, like every other week. But, you know, again, it's just going to be about us and making sure we execute and don't beat ourselves.
You've been in this league long enough. Is there a key to bouncing back quickly? You know, they always talk about winners bounce back from losses quickly.
Yeah. You know, like you said, I think you've got to have a short-term memory. I think it's no different if you're in a game and you have a bad play. You have to forget about it fast and move on to the next one. And so I think the same goes for a loss. You know, you got to move on. You know, it's a tough league that we play in, you know. And so that next week just becomes more important to go out there and prepare and make sure you learn from the mistakes of previous week and do what you need to do to get a win.
Does who is quarterback affect you a lot or a little?
I don't think necessarily. I think for us running backs, at least at my position, we still have to protect whoever's in there at quarterback and whoever's blocking up front. We need to do what we can to make them right and get the yards that's there when we're running the ball. So I don't think who's at quarterback really matters, because everybody has a job to do.
You're back at U.S. Bank Stadium. What were your impressions of that and that Monday night that you played there?
I thought the environment was, awesome. I think, it's a state-of-the-art, beautiful stadium. So I'm very fortunate to be able to play in a stadium like that, especially when they fill it packed and, our fans are, real, real rowdy. And so, we got to use that to our advantage. We got to make sure we're winning here at home, give the fans something to scream loud about every time we're in that building. And, again, it's a great environment. So, I love it.
And last, I know, you know, when you're at Oakland, it was different, but that was quite a crowd when you'd see that and they'd show the shots of it. I know TV probably exaggerates it a little bit, but what was that like, that group that, you know, that has become synonymous with painting their faces and all that goes with it?
It's a bit of a tradition out there.
Good if you're on the Oakland Raiders team, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Definitely good if you're on their side. It's no different from the tradition here. You know, when you got those crazy guys on your side wearing the helmets and got the face painted, you just hope that they're cheering for you when they see you on the street. They're on your side.
All right, that was Latavius Murray. We'll take a break here. You've got some more great topics. Your text messages have been A-plus so far this morning. We're going to take a couple of those. And then we'll take a break and talk to Chris Wright. That's going to happen around 10:20. Stick around. That's what's coming right up. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Mike.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, Mike, we are back. Again, no guests this segment. We got a little bit of a chance to talk. Got an interesting discussion this week about who is the Twins MVP. And it's a fun discussion. In some years, there's no discussion at all because you don't have any candidates. This year, you can make a case for a number of people. We talked about Dozier, Mauer, Buxton, Santana. And if he hadn't gotten hurt early, Sano would have been in the discussion.
Yeah, Sano would have been right there. So Santana steadied them. Mauer had his comeback season. Dozier hit for power and has been there all year and been a pretty good leader. Buxton's just taken a couple of dips there. He'd be the he could have run away with it.
He's the future winner.
He's the future winner, yeah. I like Santana because he's the only guy that made all his starts. And when they needed it most, he's, you know, they've changed everybody else around him, and he keeps pitching.
I came out with Dozier, partly because there was such an effort, I think a serious effort on the part of the new Twins management to make Dozier available in the offseason. There were all those rumored trades with the Dodgers. Thank heavens they didn't make the deals with the Dodgers because most of those players really didn't turn out to be much. And I think Dozier's had another outstanding year for the Twins.
Well, he had a bunt home run yesterday. That's pretty good. He's a good guy. He's a leader in the clubhouse. You'd like to see his average go up a little bit, but he hits for power, et cetera. I just thought that rotation, I was so worried about coming into the season thinking they got nothing there. And Santana steadied it, and Colon gave him a little bit. Obviously, Gibson won again the other night, and he's been a terrific story. He's had a lot of run support over the last 6 weeks when he's pitched. He's pitched to some luck to an extent there. I guess next year when I look at it, I guess their biggest question will probably be the rotation.
Absolutely. I think they'll have to go into the free agent market and add at least one, maybe two starters. I don't think the guys coming up, the Gonzalveses and the Thorpes and some of those names you hear, Stewart, names you hear about, there's nobody there who gets me really excited as somebody who could break into that rotation right away, maybe in a couple of years. But, I mean, most of the guys in the minor leagues we saw this year.
Yeah, we've seen what they got, and they look like they're a little ways away except for Barrios. And, he should develop into a pretty good pitcher. But I'll say that, you know, you look at the Twins, when you think somebody, this is what makes this game fascinating. Remember back in the day when they were giving all those contracts to Joe Mays and then Scott Baker and Nick Blackburn. And they thought we're going to build our future by giving them long-term deals. Not many of those guys, even though they looked like they were on the up, not many of those guys turned out to have really great careers.
No, you're absolutely right. That's a list of names that makes you shudder a little bit when you think about the strategy that they used. I'll give you a name that I can't get away from thinking this. I think Kinsler's going to be back pitching for the Twins next year.
I think there'd be a good chance. I would think he might want to come back. You know, if he's in the open market, I don't know what his market value would be, but that would solve the closer piece of it. Yep. And Paul Mauder has always philosophically told me that he really believes he wants a closer, not by committee. He wants the team to know that they've got one guy out there that they can count on to come in. And not that Belisle hasn't done some things, et cetera, but they don't have that right now. You're not quite sure where they fit there.
And I'm not sure how many other teams would look at Kinsler as a closer. I mean, he's been a seventh-inning guy for Washington, but I think the Twins would think of him that way. I think he'd get the best money from the Twins. And when you hear him talk about his time in Minnesota, he really liked it here. And he said, hey, I understand why they traded me. And it's baseball, and, I can't argue with it. But I just get the feeling he would come back.
I mean, that just makes it, the whole story just becomes so much more incredible because they traded him because the season was over, right?
At that time, the season was over.
And I thought I was pretty comfortable with that. I thought, you got to make that move. You're far enough out. You can't play for this year.
Got a little something in return.
Yeah, get a little something and fortify the minor leagues. And here, I mean, I just can't get over that. You know, you make a couple of deals like that, and then here they sit.
And, you know, they got $500,000 of international signing money, which people don't think a whole lot about. That can get you a lot of players out of the Dominican or wherever it is. So, interesting deal. Need to take a break here. When we come back, if things go well, we'll be talking to Chris Wright. You're listening to the Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, and Mike. We are back. We're changing the topic. The topic suddenly, well, we can talk both basketball and soccer here. Our guest is Chris Wright, and Chris, Mike, and I, and Sid, in a couple of minutes, join in congratulating you on the new position with the Minnesota Loons, Minnesota United. You're a soccer guy at heart, and you're back with soccer.
Yeah, it's exciting, Dave. Bittersweet, obviously, to be leaving the Wolves and the Lynx after 26 years, but to be able to go back to your roots, where it all started, where you played, where you coach, where you became a general manager over in the United States. And then, you know, it's taken a position whereby you've got to go build a stadium, build a team that's competitive, and then build a front office and a fan base to support it. Truly an exciting opportunity for me at this stage of my career.
Got a big win last night, 4-1. When you talk about building a team, Chris, the MLS, we're still trying to get our arms around how these seasons work and players on loan and all those things. What are you doing this first off season?
Well, obviously the team seems to be getting stronger and stronger under the guidance of Adrian as our head coach. They're playing very, very well. Great win, you know, last week on the road in Montreal, where that team has three designated players. We don't have a designated player at this point in our history. And for them to come back home and beat Dallas last night 4-1, Dallas is struggling a little bit, but it just shows that all of the guys that they have on this team right now are playing really, really hard, playing for Adrian, playing in a system that he loves to coach in, and are really finding some success at the back end of the season as everybody gets healthy. So, you know, we've probably got four or five more pieces that truly we've got to find to be really competitive in the MLS. And that's what I'll be working on during the offseason with Manny and Adrian.
Chris, two decades dedicated to basketball, but I got the idea your passion, your love for soccer was always right there. You've stayed really up to date on what's going on, not only locally and in the United States, but globally, and I assume that all that stuff is really coming back to help you right now.
Yeah, both on the business side and on the playing side, David. Thank you for the compliment. But, yeah, it's a passion of mine. And if you look at it, you know, Adrian's got his own network out there that he relies on very heavily. Manny's got a different type of a network, having played and coached here and has deep roots in South America. I have a different type of network. I have a lot of people in the broadcast world that I lean into for opinion. I watch an awful lot of broadcasts. I watch a lot of players. I've been involved with a lot of different teams over the last 30 years. So my network is completely different. If we can find a way to harness the power of all three networks, then I really feel that we can build a team that this city, this state, this country can be proud of, and we can be in contention for an MLS championship somewhere down the road.
Obviously, the NBA has exploded internationally in the time that you've been there, and the value of franchise and everything else. What did you learn from the NBA? What do you take with that they could apply to the MLS or to this team?
Oh, Mike, I mean, where do you start? I mean, the NBA is incredible. One of the great things that the NBA does, I'm not sure how robust it is inside of the MLS, but they share best practices around not only the teams, but all of the affiliations that they have from different companies globally. So when you walk into their meetings and, you know, we actually have a website that we can go to, and we can draw down on the experiences of literally hundreds of different things on a day-to-day basis that are best practices in the NBA. And I think that was started by David Stern. It's been taken to a completely different level by Adam Silver. So when you're sitting in my seat inside of a franchise, you really can see, or you have at your fingertips, really everything that is going on inside of our sport, and you can decide whether or not it's appropriate for your team. So where the MLS is at relative to that, but you know, I've had visibility to that for the last 26 years, so I can bring a lot of that acumen with me as I move over to United.
Chris, you've anguished along with a lot of fans of the with Timberwolves over the years, and now the Timberwolves absolutely appear. All the arrows are going up. Was it tough to leave at this point? And of course, and we don't want to neglect the Lynx. So the Lynx game on Tuesday night. You're walking around proudly as you deserve to be. I mean, both those teams, their future looks very, very bright.
Yeah, I mean, it is tough to leave, and just having sort of help manage your renovation of Target Center as well. And not be able to. I've seen the renovation through now, but now the programming, the commissioning of all the spaces, the the different sort of consumer groups that we have that will use the different things and amenities and benefits that we put into that renovation to see all come to life as well. But you're right. I'm not straying too far from the fall, though. Glenn is an investor in United. We will definitely have a relationship with the Wolves and the Lynx, and we will partner and we will work with each other. And Dave, by the way, I'm going to do exactly the same with the Minnesota Twins. With the Pollard family, they've been very supportive of me taking this role. Dave St. Peter is a very, very good friend of mine. We're going to have a really, really strong working relationship with the Twins as well. In that, on this investment, we're all family.
Chris, like I said, we're still trying to get our arms around this, the MLS and the length of the season and all that goes with it. This is a different thing. You basically have to market a team through about three or almost four different seasons because of the length of it, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, you start in March. Your home opener is in March, and then obviously we're going to end our regular season in the middle of October, and then the playoffs begin. So imagine playing in an MLS championship game at the end of November. In Minnesota, how crazy will that be? But that's, we've got to think about those things. The snowball that opened up the season this year, 34,000 fans inside of TCF Bank Stadium, and it was, snowing like crazy. I mean, the images of that game, just absolutely incredible. But, the fans of the game, Mike, are so passionate about it. I was there last night, 22,000 people again last night. It's just incredible that the passion that these people have, and they dress appropriately for every single game. It's a wonderful sunny evening last night looking at downtown Minneapolis. It was absolutely gorgeous. Who knows what it's going to be like in 2 weeks' time when we play our last season, regular season game on October the 7th. You never know in Minnesota, but that's what it's all about in Minnesota. Fans of the outdoor game dress appropriately, support their team, so energetic around their team, and they create the home pitch advantage that we saw last night.
Chris, my last question, it just seems to me, and you brought up the renovation of the Target Center, you've acquired some skills that should be very helpful as you go into the construction of your own home field.
Well, it's a great point, because if you take a look at, my background from a playing coaching standpoint, I think I can help contribute there. If you look at sort of the business that we've run here over the last 26 years, I think I can help that. The opportunity, Dave, to build a $200 million stadium in St. Paul, what an incredible opportunity for anybody, regardless of where you come from. And I can go in there and basically take with me all of the experiences that we've had as we have renovated Target Center for $150 million. It was meant to be.
Thanks, Craig. Hey, congratulations. You deserve
it. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Dave. Really appreciate it.
All right, that's Chris Wright. Sid has joined us, and we will continue right after this. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Mike.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, we are back. Sid has joined us. Always the high point of the show for us. Sid's here, and Sid, we're going to listen to an interview you did with Tom Kelly, very appropriately timed.
Yeah, I drove out to his house. I got him a picture of that picture that he took of him when he got his statue, and had a nice conversation in his house.
Always fun to hear Tom Kelly's take on what's going on with the Twins. Let's listen in.
Tom Kelly, how surprised are you about how the Twins are playing?
Sidney, it's I don't know if I'm surprised. As being a manager, a former manager, you expect your players to play well and give it a go each and every night and put the uniform on and go play. And I think Mr. Molitor and the staff have gotten a lot out of the players this year. Obviously, we're pitching better. So, you know, we pitched so horribly last year and that basically didn't have any chance. So we've pitched much better this year. Our bullpen's much stronger this year. And that gives the players the incentive to go out and play the game. So we have some very good players. We have some veteran players in Mauer, Escobar, and Dozier, of course, and Castro, guys that have been around the block some. And then we have a mixture of the, you know, the Buxtons and Keflers and Polancos. And they're playing well. And, of course, Rosario, who's done terrific. So the combination of pitching better and our defense is better as a result of us pitching better, you know, it all goes hand in hand. But with Buxton making some terrific plays in the outfield, Kepler, Rosario, and the infielders being very solid, you know, we've played the game at a higher level. And as a result, we've won our share of games. And so I'm not overly surprised. I'm not shocked that we're playing well because I, you know, you as a manager, you feel like your players are going to play well for you. And our players have played extremely well this year, especially on the defensive side of the game. So I'm very happy with the way things have turned out, and hopefully we keep going for another couple of weeks here, and some good things might happen. You never know when you get in the playoff.
How about Mauer? He's hit 400 in a period. Do you ever expect him to do that?
I have to be honest. I didn't think so. I didn't think he was I thought Joe was tailing off some, but I'm not surprised because he is such a good athlete. He must be feeling better physically than he let on last year. He must have been banged up some, and because he didn't have the kind of year that Joe, I'm sure, wanted to have and of what we expected him to have. But Joe's just such a wonderful athlete, he's been able to play at a higher level than he did last year or the last couple of years, actually. And without a question, I don't think in my mind he's got to be the most valuable player on the team. His defense has been superlative at first. His hitting has been consistent the whole year. He's hitting a few over the fence. He's driven in his share of the runs. He's gotten on base. He's run the bases. He's done every part of the game very, very well.
Okay, you worked with him a lot when he became a first baseman. Did you ever dream he could be the Gold Glove as a catcher and a first baseman?
Well, you know, those are lofty achievements, winning a Gold Glove as a catcher, as he did. People transitioning to another position, you know, you never really know how it's going to work out. Again, I'm reiterating myself, he's a good athlete. He is a good athlete. He's a smart guy, and he knows how to figure things out. And he worked very hard at learning the position of first base, I'm sure as he did as a catcher. He learned first. He's gotten better and better each year that he's been over there. And, again, his knowledge of the game and his experience certainly helps him out in all aspects of playing the game of baseball. So he plays it at a high level, no matter if he's got the bat in his hand or he's got the glove. He's just been a solid player for the Twins over the years. And this year it's been a big, big comeback for him. And you can't be happier for a guy. He's really shown what kind of player he can be.
Talk about that young outfield, those three guys, unbelievable. It's one of the best outfields in baseball.
The outfielders have done a terrific job. There's, you know, Buxton in center is like Superman. How lucky have we been over the last three decades, I guess, with having Kirby Puckett and Torrey Hunter, and now you have Byron Buxton. We've been pretty fortunate over the years to have this kind of talent play in the Twins uniform and patrol center field the way those fellows have done. Byron is very quick on his feet. We all know that. He can run as good as anybody I have ever seen run. He's some kind of quick and covers ground with his long strides and he has no fear of the walls or anything, and let's hope that doesn't bite him in the future. But again, he is just terrific out there, and Rosario's done a good job, and Kepler's these guys get a little lost in the shuffle out there with Buxton, but they're very, very talented guys. They cover ground, and they saved an awful lot of runs for us. And that's part of playing the game of defense. And those three fellows have done it very, very well. Even the guys that we put out there on occasion, the substitute, have done a good job. So overall, the whole aspect of playing the game of defense has been brought up to a higher level. And I think it's all the result of our pitching being better.
Amazing things. You lose Sano, and they still keep on going.
Yeah. Somebody goes down, somebody has to step up. And Adrianza's done a good job when he's gotten to play. Escobar's done a terrific job, whether he plays third base or other infield positions. He's done just wonderful job. He's knocked in a whole bunch of runs, hitting the ball over the fence on occasion. And, you don't hear Sano's name much anymore. You know, so that's how much these other fellows have done the job. They've been terrific as substitutes, and we haven't missed a beat with substituting for Sano.
They get a couple of pitchers for next year. They could be in the race for a pennant.
Well, we certainly have, that's all. One other thing, we've done fairly well this year compared to last year. We stayed pretty healthy for the most part. Of course, Sano's out. But we lost Hughes and a couple here and there with minor injuries, a couple of the pitchers. But for the most part, our impact players have stayed on the field for most of the time. With the exception of maybe Sano. But compared to last year where they were, we were losing them left and right, Mejia, I think they expect big things out of Mejia. He could do, with his experience that he's getting this year, could be better. I'm not quite sure of our minor league guys how many are ready to come up. Gonzalez is a guy that I'm anxious to see in the future. I think Mr. Levine will put together a solid staff for us next year. We're looking forward to the future. So I think that culture has been identified with the Twins now, and our pitching player wise, I think we're moving forward. So I'm looking for a couple guys to come up and maybe help out the pitching staff and see if we can anchor that down that starting pitching just a touch better.
Terry Ryan deserves a lot of credit for developing these players.
Correct. Yeah, we were talking about that the other day. I was with a couple friends, and somebody else brought it up about Terry Ryan bringing in, and developing Rogers, Hildenberg, Berger, and a number of the pitchers and players on the team, the Rosarios and Polanco's and whatnot. But we have Terry Ryan to thank immensely for the development and bringing in a number of these players. And the combination of, you know, Terry and what Mr. Levine has done to improve the team, both have to be credited, without a doubt.
No doubt Mauser should be brought back, right?
Well, I would hope so. It's you don't know what somebody else is thinking, but again, Paul's gotten an awful lot out of these guys, and they're playing the game well. And of course, there's a mistake here and there, but everybody has those. Everybody. So again, they've been to a minimum, and the players have put forth a good effort the whole season, and within all that. We're playing at a much, much higher level than we did a year ago, and except, you know, if you take out the previous year where it wasn't too good, the year before that was certainly a good, solid season for us. So I think Paul's done a very, very good job, without a question. And the whole staff has the hitting coach, Mr. Rousen. The pitching's better under Mr. Allen this year. So the whole staff has to be given some credit.
All right, that was Tom Kelly with some interesting thoughts along the way about the development of this year's Twins team. Take a break here. When we come back, we'll be talking to Glenn Taylor. You're listening to the Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, and Mike. All right, we are back, and as promised, we are joined now by, I'm going to say, Minnesota Lynx owner, because that's the outfit he's wearing right now. His Lynx play Los Angeles at 2:30 this afternoon in the newly conditioned Williams Arena. Sid, say good morning to Glenn Taylor.
Glenn Taylor, I got to compliment you. You spend $1 million to put air conditioning in that Williams Arena. Talk about that.
Well, it's something we needed for our fans and for our players. We wished we were playing in the Target Center, but we have to wait until that's ready. And the best alternative was the barn. And so we're over there and trying to put it in an environment that that our fans will love and our players need.
Okay. Also, you're going to stay here and watch the Lynx and not go to China until the Lynx are done, right?
That's right. We have a conflict here. My Timberwolves are going over to China, and my Lynx are playing for the championship, and I want to be with the Lynx while they work towards getting this championship. I've been there a couple times, and it's such an exciting time that I want to enjoy that with them.
And you got the Timberwolves in San Diego. Do you like that idea of them going out there and training?
Well, yeah, I've been asked that question. I'm saying that's probably more the coach's decision than mine. he wanted to be out there because they were going to play the Clippers, and then they were taken off for China. You know, my preference, of course, is to play here and stay here at the Mail Center. But, he's responsible for the team, and he felt that if we could pull him away and keep him together, that it'd be off to a better start. And I just going to follow his direction.
Are you done signing players?
Well, no, for sure. We want to look at some guys that we brought to camp, and we want to wait around, and for sure we will sign one more player.
Okay. Talk about the Wiggins situation. What's holding up signing that?
Well, I think it just has to do with that Andrew has gone away from his agent and is now sort of representing himself with advice from others, and I think that he just wants to be cautious to make sure that he's doing the right thing. He has all the information, and I'm confident that just give him some time, and we're not pushing him, that we'll get this worked out.
Yeah, talking to him the other day, he doesn't have an agent, he said, per se. He's just got a team of people, huh?
Well, my understanding, I mean, I've met with him, I've talked to him, that he's using, he has a person that's a qualified lawyer and stuff like that. But he's talking to his mom and dad, and he's talking to, I think, some other financial advisors. And I think, you know, he just, I think, wants to understand a contract and what he's committing himself to here, and he's chosen to go that way. I don't see that as a problem because pretty much what I offered him is a kind of a contract that's that has always been worked out ahead of time by the union, and I just went to the max and just offered it to him. So it's pretty much, you know, standard.
Yeah, it looks like
side.
A pretty simple. You can't do much more, right?
Yeah, that's right. But I think that he, though I'm, you know, very familiar with it, he probably is not. And when I met him, I said, you know, it's important that you feel comfortable and that you get good advice. So, you know, I encouraged him to make sure that he, without an agent, that he's takes his time and making sure that he's comfortable with what he's signing.
I understand. ESPN reported that your team and eight other teams lost money this year. What's the story about that?
Excuse me.
Well, did you lose money?
Having losses here, last year.
Did you lose money last year? Sid said ESPN reported that the Timberwolves were one of the teams that lost money last year.
On the Timberwolves?
Yeah.
No, well, it's not so.
Well, ESPN reported that there were nine teams that lost money last year, but that revenue sharing helped them a little bit. What's the story? Any accurs?
Well, I would say that I would say that you know we consider, you know, the revenue sharing as part of our income, and that as do most other teams, and overall with that we were profitable.
How do you feel about this team right now? Do you feel they're good enough to make the playoff? You think you've added enough good players?
Well, I would think so, Sid. I would think that that with the addition of the players that we've added and the growth of our fellows that were on the team, that we should move up into the playoffs. Now, the question is, how high can you get into the playoffs? Is there even the opportunity to come in and have home court advantage? Because that's really important. But on the other hand, I'm looking at what the other teams in the West have done, and it's going to be like in the playoffs, during the year, we're going to be playing some really, really good teams all year long in the Western Division.
Glenn Taylor, thank you very much. You're doing a great job. And for being on the show, you and Becky, one of my favorite women, can go to Murray's and get a steak. Thank you.
On behalf of Becky, I say thank you.
Thanks, right. Glenn. Have fun today.
That's Glenn Taylor back with more after the Sports Huddle. Sid, Dave, and Mike.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, we are back. We've got about a minute to go. Hammer, Greg Schreffer, who does a good job keeping eye on the wire. Hammer, what are the Vikings going to do today?
According to Jacina Anderson from ESPN, quarterback Xavier Rhodes told her they're planning to interlock arms during the anthem today.
Okay, we've seen that on TV. The yes. London in front that came from London, apparently from the National Football League. That may be a fairly common thing during the
looks like it
anthem.
Solidarity. Yeah.
They talk to the teams, talk to each other, and that sounds like what's going to be happening around the league.
I don't think you can go wrong with that. Do you think, Dave?
No, I think that's probably a pretty good middle line, solution.
Yep.
I've got one thing I want to get into here. If you send us a text message, you have an obligation to listen to the show when we answer your text messages. The reason I'm saying that, a little bit irritated. We got a text message last week saying to Sid, you say such good things about Joe Mauturi. Didn't he hire Tim Brewster and Norwood Teague? And we answered that last week, and now you send the same thing again. Joe Mauturi in no way hired Norwood Teague.
No, it had nothing to do with it.
He hired Tim Brewster, which he's apologized for so many times. Norwood Teague succeeded Joe Mauturi when his contract was not renewed. But listen to the show. If you send us a text message and we answered, you've got an obligation to at least listen to how we respond. If you want to give us a call, we'll try to get you in the 11 o'clock hour. We're going to start things out with Dave St. Peter, and that will happen right at the top, about 11:05. You're listening to the Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, and Mike.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.